Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The pressure is intensifying in Washington, D.C. to pass one of these election fraud bills. We're going to be talking to an expert today. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, and our special guest is Cleta Mitchell. She has more than 40 years of experience in law and politics and public policy. She has advised nonprofits on various corporations, candidates, campaigns, and individuals on state and federal campaign finance and election laws, and she is an expert in this specific area. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Cleta.
Well, thank you for having me, Matt. I really appreciate it.
We're honored to have you. So
let's talk about what's happening. There's a lot of pressure that's building in Washington, D.C. with what happened in Texas, where the Democrats have left the state to try to break the quorum. You see efforts of Biden going to Pennsylvania to try to push this issue. You see lots of different hearings coming on. It started off with H.R. 1 in the Senate. It was S1 and then S2093. And now there's a discussion about the so-called John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Tell us a little bit about the landscape and what is this, what I'll call as the John Lewis Act?
Known by several different names and introduced in every Congress by the Democrats since 2014. The Democrats have been all upset since the Supreme Court ruled in 2013 that this pre-clearance process whereby certain states in America and certain jurisdictions would have to submit every decision about any election issue to the federal government in Washington, D.C. for, quote, pre-clearance, unquote, before it could be effected. And the Supreme Court ruled in 2013 that while that had been an important and necessary extreme act of interference in the state-federal relationship, that it was necessary in 1965 because of problems in certain jurisdictions for minorities to be able to vote and hold office, but that those factors no longer existed by 2013. And so the Supreme Court said there's no justification to continue to have these rules that require the federal government, Department of Justice voting section, to approve all of these things. So the left went crazier. And so they first introduced this bill to restore a pre-clearance system that would thus apply to every jurisdiction.
And that's what the John Lewis bill is. You have a video that really explained this of people who worked in the Department of Justice Voting Rights Division, and they were part of working in the DOJ, and they saw what actually happens in real time. Tell us a little bit, give us an example about some of these outrageous examples of what preclearance is. How does it work, and how's it going to, if it were passed, affect local and state elections?
Well, it's, how much time do you have, Matt? I mean, it's pretty terrible. But Maureen Reardon, who was for 20 years a lawyer at DOJ, and she's now with the Public Interest Legal Foundation, and she describes how, when she first arrived in the voting section in 2000, how shocked she was to learn that the lawyers in the voting section were faxing and communicating with the Democratic National Committee on ideas as to how Al Gore could prevail over George Bush in the post-election litigation, and how throughout her tenure at the DOJ, she would be instructed to turn over materials to an outside left-wing group, the ACLU or the Brennan Center or one of the myriad of left-wing voting groups. And the voting section has been dominated by left-wing activist lawyers for decades. And they're really the ones pushing all of this. And they would make decisions. And she said they would initiate proceedings against jurisdictions who were voting for Republicans because they didn't like the politics
of
the jurisdiction.
So let me give you an example, because you actually make this example in some of your points. And that is, if you have a polling place, for example, in the community center, and it's in room A, but on election day, for some reason, there's a flood, there's problems that happen in room A, or maybe it's not big enough because of the voter turnout, you need to move it across the hallway to room B in the same building. You have to get permission from the United States Department of Justice to do that. So that's kind of a very detailed, micromanaged portion. That means, would it not, that any law that they wanted to pass, whether it's voting ID or voting in your same precincts or limiting ballot harvesting, all of that would have to get prior approval from the Department of Justice, particularly from these people that are already heavily leaning Democrats?
But wait, elections are responsibility of the state, correct?
That's right. And that was the ruling of the Supreme Court in 2013 in this case, which said we allowed this extreme incursion and intrusion of the federal government into these local jurisdictions because this, and only because of the historic problems. And because you're right, the Constitution gives the states the responsibility for establishing the time, place, and manner for electing members of Congress.
And the DOJ has no business in that.
And the only reason it was allowed by the court was as a temporary measure to right the wrongs of the Democrats' Jim Crow programs.
Yeah, that's an interesting...
Let's not forget those were Democrats.
That's what was happening. The Jim Crow laws, you oftentimes think of Jim Crow and you think of the Republican Party, but it was actually the Republican Party that ultimately created a momentum that stopped it, and ultimately that's why a lot of African Americans were elected to office. And so the Jim Crow laws came into being to stop all of that. And so, but the pre-clearance that was allowed, the pre-approval that was allowed for a temporary period of time up until 2013, from 1965 to 2013, was only in certain states that had a pattern of suppressing minority votes, right? But
right,
this
that's
particular
exactly right.
bill, John Lewis Act, would put it across the country. Every state and territory would be under preclearance or pre-approval by this small group of people who are ACLU supporters.
That's exactly right. And that's why this is even more, to my way of thinking, this is even more damaging and more frightening than H.R. 1 and S. 1. Because it enables this small group of left-wing lawyers to basically do unilaterally everything they wanted to do by statute in H.R. 1, S. 1.
Let me give you an example and see, is this how it could work? Say, take Pennsylvania, and you want to increase the Democratic vote in Pennsylvania, so you require Pennsylvania, the DOJ does, to put in all of these drop boxes and mail ballots and so forth in the heavily Democratic states under the guise that, well, you need to increase minority voting. But in the other more red parts of Pennsylvania, the more Republican-leaning parts of Pennsylvania, you're not allowed to do that. Is that possible under preclearance where they could literally micromanage and have different rules set for different precincts under the guise that they want to increase minority voting, but frankly, what they want to do is increase Democratic voting?
Well, yes, that's absolutely what they could do and they would want to do. And that's what they did in 2020.
Yeah, that's what we saw played out.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So in other words, they could take 2020, and this is what Mark Zuckerberg did. He paid a lot of money to do exactly that. Mm-hmm. But they could take 2020 and put it on steroids across the nation.
And we'd never have never have a fair election again.
Exactly right. I mean, I refer to this as creating a banana republic system of elections where no matter who's running or no matter what your campaign is, this is to ensure democratic control and rule for the rest of our natural lives.
Wow, this is a serious
threat. Yes, it's a very serious threat. I want you just to think about these big cities in America. Think about California. Think about Oregon. Think about Washington State. There are places in this country where, I particularly come back to the big cities, where these are Democrat machines and only Democrats can get elected. And somehow or another, we've never been able to persuade minorities that, I mean, the President Trump is the one who said to those Black leaders and voters in Detroit in 2016, what have you got to lose? Yeah. Give us a chance.
Well, this is a serious threat. I encourage people to go to lc.org/HR1. We're still referring to it as HR1. lc.org/HR1. Fax these members of Congress, sign the petition, and call them. We're going to put CLEDA's website on that page as well as soon as it is live. lc.org/HR1. This is a serious threat to freedom. Don't think somebody else is going to do this for you. You need to speak up now.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.